Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, May 27th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us my mom, Judy Frady. Thank you, Mom, for joining the podcast today. I can't wait for you guys to get to know her more after she reads today's selection.
I'm delighted to be with you today, Mary. Our first reading is Leviticus 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, 'I am the Lord your God.' You must not do as they do in Egypt, where you used to live, and you must not do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you. Do not follow these practices. You must obey my laws and be careful to follow my decrees. I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and laws, for the person who obeys them will live by them. I am the Lord. No one is to approach any close relative to have sexual relations. I am the Lord. Do not dishonor your father by having sexual relations with your mother. She is your mother. Do not have relations with her. Do not have sexual relations with your father's wife. That would dishonor your father. Do not have sexual relations with your sister, either your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether she was born in the same home or elsewhere. Do not have sexual relations with your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. That would dishonor you. Do not have sexual relations with the daughter of your father's wife, born to your father. She is your sister. Do not have sexual relations with your father's sister. She is your father's close relative. Do not have sexual relations with your mother's sister, because she is your mother's close relative. Do not dishonor your father's brother by approaching his wife to have sexual relations. She is your aunt. Do not have sexual relations with your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. Do not have relations with her. Do not have sexual relations with your brother's wife. That would dishonor your brother. Do not have sexual relations with both a woman and her daughter. Do not have sexual relations with either her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. They are close relatives. That is wickedness. Do not take your wife's sister as a rival wife and have sexual relations with her while your wife is living. Do not approach a woman to have sexual relations during the uncleanness of her monthly period. Do not have sexual relations with your neighbor's wife and defile yourself with her. Do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. That is detestable. Do not have sexual relations with an animal and defile yourself with it. A woman must not present herself to an animal to have sexual relations with it. That is a perversion. Do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the nations that I am going to drive out before you became defiled. Even the land was defiled. So I punished it for its sin, and the land vomited out its inhabitants. But you must keep my decrees and my laws. The native-born and the foreigners residing among you must not do any of these detestable things, for all these things were done by the people who lived in the land before you, and the land became defiled. And if you defile the land, it will vomit you out as it vomited out the nations that were before you. Everyone who does any of these detestable things, such persons must be cut off from their people. Keep my requirements and do not follow any of the detestable customs that were practiced before you came, and do not defile yourselves with them. I am the Lord your God. We will continue reading in the book of Psalms, and we'll do Psalms 1 today. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Our third selection comes from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 34. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But God has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits. Then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now when he says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Now if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame.
Thank you so much, Mama, for joining the podcast today. We're so grateful that you're taking the time to do this. My mom is part of a very big family. She had 6 siblings. So, Mom, I want you to tell about what it was like growing up with 6 siblings.
I am one of 7 children. There were 3 girls. Our brother was born as the 4th child. And then there were 3 girls. I was child number 5 to Webb and Ellen Linder. I was raised in Cowpens, South Carolina, and we attended Central Baptist Church there.
Tell me a little bit about the dynamic in your household. How did your mama feed 7 kids?
My mom was a treasure. She chose to work third shift at the local mill because she wanted to be there every morning when we got up so that she could help us get ready for school. And then when we would go off to school was be when she would rest and sleep so that when we came home from school, she would be ready to prepare the supper meal and we would all eat together. And then she would rest a while before she would have to go back to work at night. It was interesting. We lived in a 3-bedroom house. My mother and father, of course, had a room. And then the 6 girls had a big bedroom where there were 2 large beds. And then my brother and a cousin who lived with us shared the other bedroom. But of course, my older sister was married before my youngest sister was born. So we ranged from, I guess, around 21 to an infant.
Wow. I can't believe that you also had a cousin in your home. I think Granny Ellen must have just had the mentality, there's always room for one more.
Exactly. And on Sundays, especially when it was mealtime, just whoever came to lunch with us, and there was always plenty.
Now, my mom and her siblings cared for my grandmother as she got dementia when she was older. Talk to us a little bit about how y'all came together to care for Granny Ellen.
Well, it was just a precious time to care for her. I have a sister that's a nurse, and of course she recognized that our mother was declining in health. And she started staying with her on the weekends, but it just evolved into where we would stay with her 24 hours a day, and somebody would always be there. Especially my oldest sister would be there at night, and usually I would go in the mornings because the others worked. But they would come and take a turn. Even my sister, who lives in Virginia, would come for a week at a time so that she could help take care of my mom. And our brother was faithful daily to come by, usually for breakfast and then maybe around lunchtime or supper time, to help do whatever he needed to do for her. So it was just a precious time when we were honoring God. There's a verse that we would claim, and I always forget where it's found, where Paul was telling Timothy that if a widow had children or grandchildren, and that they cared for her, they were blessing God. So we just delighted in knowing that we were blessing God.
Speaking of blessing the Lord, you have blessed me so richly. You helped me come to a saving knowledge of the Lord by teaching me to love the Scriptures. I want to hear how you came to faith in Christ.
My mother always saw that we were in church, and so I participated in Sunday school, training union that we used to have. I also participated in GAs when I was growing up. So through those things, I learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. And my mother helped me to understand that it was putting my faith in Him. So one time at a revival service, when we used to have revival services in the spring and in the fall, I went down and committed myself to the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing that He was the Son of God and that I believed in Him, that He was resurrected from the dead.
I want to take a little bit of a turn in our conversation. Tell me how you met Dad.
I met him probably at our high school. During that time, our high school was grade 7 through 12. So I probably knew about him in 7th grade, but we actually had a first outing at the end of 8th grade when we went to, I think it probably was a Beta Club outing or something, I invited him to go. But we actually started dating when I was in ninth grade and he was a senior. He actually was the star basketball player. He was the student body president. So I was very fortunate. We dated then for almost 7 years while he was in college. And we married before my senior year in college. This July, we will celebrate 52 years together as husband and wife.
Now, you mentioned being in college. What was your career?
I taught elementary school for 29 years, but I actually retired with 30 years because when I was a senior in high school, I drove a school bus, and we were able to buy that year as my 30th year.
Tell me about a favorite family vacation that we took together.
One of the favorites was Hawaii. My husband, John, worked for a company. He was a pharmacist, and he worked for the company who sold pharmacy software. And so he had to do a lot of traveling. And we went to Hawaii with him one time. Actually, he came home and said, "I have to go to Hawaii." And I looked at him and I said, "We have to go with you." So we did. And that was one of my favorites, to have both my children and my husband in Hawaii. We went to Maui and had a wonderful time. We actually did a venture of riding bicycles down the mountain. They picked us up at 2:30 in the morning and took us up to the top of a volcano.
Haleakala, I think was the name of it.
That's right. We went at 2:30 in the morning. We have a picture of Mary and me sitting there looking over the edge of the volcano, and we looked almost like
E.T. or something.
E.T. We had blankets over our head. It was so cold. But then we geared up, we suited up, and we rode bicycles 38 miles down the mountains to the beach, and it was a wonderful experience.
Yes, it was. Thank you for providing that wonderful experience for us. Now, one thing you need to know about my mama is she makes the best chocolate oatmeal cookies, you know, those no-bake cookies, on the planet, hands down.
One thing about the oatmeal cookies over the years, I would just not usually make them for my family at home. So whenever I was making oatmeal cookies and somebody would come in, they would also always say, "Who died?" Because that was one of the things that I would always take when a person in our church had died. We would serve a meal to their family, and I would always take the oatmeal cookies. But now I like to make them and share with the people at the bank or the post office or just close friends.
One of the things that you've taught me through the years is that we can all be missionaries every day. And I see that as you bless those around you with gifts and also talk freely about your faith. Tell me about how you serve the church as well.
Well, I was a Sunday school teacher, mostly in adults. But I also served as a volunteer music director for 18 years.
Speaking of music, what is a favorite song or hymn that you have?
One of my very favorite hymns is "Revive Us Again," because the first verse says, "We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above." The gospel message is portrayed in that song. And that's what we need to be doing daily, is sharing the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Mama, for your willingness to join the podcast today with a little coaxing. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Certainly. Our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence thanking you for your mercy and your grace. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for being willing to die on a cross that we might live. We praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that abides within us. We thank you for being our teacher, our guide. I ask, Lord, that you would accept our praise and thanksgiving for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.